All right. So first up in terms of news this week, we have iOS 17 Beta 3, which came out last week. I know a few weeks ago we talked about how Beta 2 would be boring and Beta 3 would be exciting. I think we jinxed it because that's not really true.
Yeah, Beta 3 pretty boring. I think part of the reason, though, is like there's nothing in iOS 17 that is divisive, really. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's not a Safari or a system settings of this generation of this OS cycle. So, like, you're not waiting for every release to see if they've, like, changed something dramatically and based on the feedback. It's just all kind of stuff that's like, yeah, that's pretty neat. And they're just fixing bugs and refining stuff. And there's a few features that are all quoted for coming later in the year. So we're not really expecting them to arrive in the 0.0 cycle anyway. So there's only really minor things they can do unless they really surprise us with something crazy. Like with the Beta 2 thing, it was kind of cool when they turned on the crossfade and you could like choose the number of seconds on that slider. That was neat.
Yeah.
Beta 3, again, though, a few little things, but nothing wild.
There's Apple Music song credits, which basically you tap on the three dots when a song's playing, and then there's a new song credits button that shows you like the producer, the people who played different instruments on that track. Apple Music's kind of always shown writing credits on the bottom of the lyrics interface, but this is like a whole nother level of detail. I assume this kind of came from the work they did on Apple Music Classical to a degree. I think the interface is relatively similar to that.
But yeah, the data feels related, right?
Yeah. But I was actually been disappointed by how many songs have this data. Like the new Taylor Swift album, the re-record of Fearless, or no, Speak Now. Is it Speak Now? I think it's Speak Now.
Yeah, Speak Now is the one that just came out, yeah.
But even on that one, which is one I wanted to go view, like who was playing it and how that compared to the first version of the album and all of that. But at least when I looked last week, none of those songs had the more in-depth credits.
Maybe they're still building that up and it'll be like, you'd be more responsive when 17 comes out of beta.
I assume it's something that like the labels have to provide too. Like Apple's not doing all of it itself. I don't think, because that's how the lyrics are.
Yeah. The lyrics, Apple has like an in-house team though.
I think they take the lyrics from the labels though, and then they do like the real time. I don't know.
There's some with lyrics, at least Eddie Key made this big thing about, we've got a whole team in-house, right? That are like, yeah, doing this stuff. With the credits, I presume there's more of a submission process. Like it comes when they upload the tracks. But
yeah,
if that's the case, it will be like they'll tell like the labels or whatever, like this fall, you need to make sure you're submitting all this information. Blah, 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 blah. So during the beta season, it might be more patchy. That's at least what I'd hope, because it makes sense for them to collect as much of that information as possible and be able to present it. And they've done pretty well, like on lyrics on, you know, karaoke mode or the you know, Dolby Atmos and losses. They've had pretty good penetration of anything they've like added across the library. You know, it's not 100%, but it's pretty good. And so I hope the same thing could be true for credits. And I'd give them the benefit of the doubt that it'll be a lot more fully featured, especially with new stuff like Taylor Swift and high profile stuff like that, when it's actually out of beta. The one thing I was disappointed with this feature is that it shows you like a table view list of the credits and the producers and everything with, you know, one per row. And they look like tappable buttons, but you can't actually tap them and do anything. So like what I wanted, for instance, was it shows the writers or the composer. And I was like, oh, I'll click on the writer and it will show me other songs they've written in the Apple Music database. But it doesn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just static text. You can long press on it and report a concern. So if they've mislabeled it, you can, you know, report it to them. But it would be nice if it was more of like a interactive database where if you see a producer or a writer that you really like, you can then tap through and it can show you everything else that Apple Music knows about them, right? Or the other songs that they've contributed to. But that's not there, at least.
That's something you can do in like the app, the Genius app, which is still one of the best ways to find like credits and lyrics and stuff. You can view like individual pages for different producers and writers. So, but I guess there's only so much Apple can cram into the music app itself. I don't know.
Yeah, or it might be something they get to eventually, and it's just not ready for the first version.
I do think, like you said, we'll see more labels and artists do this, because I know one of the things artists and producers have complained about with streaming music in general is that it's harder to find those full credits for things. Like when you'd buy a CD, you would take the little booklet out of the front and scroll through or flip through each page and see the lyrics and the detailed credits of who played guitar, who wrote the song, who played piano, and all of that. But until now, that stuff hasn't really been as readily available with streaming as it was back then.
Yeah, either way, it's nice they've done this.
We are sponsored this week by Roborock. the epitome of home cleaning innovation. Roborock invites you to discover a world of convenience and efficiency. With a relentless commitment to research, development, and production, Roborock excels in creating advanced robotic, cordless, and wet-dry vacuum cleaners. Roborock's products are meticulously designed to solve genuine problems and empower you to live a better life. This Prime Day, unlock incredible savings on a wide selection of Roborock models to experience the future of home cleaning with discounts of up to 45% off. Roborock's advanced technology seamlessly navigates your home, leaving no corner untouched. So say goodbye to manual vacuuming and hello to more free time. Take advantage of Roborock's Prime Day deals of up to 45% off and discover the remarkable benefits of Roborock for yourself. Hit the link in the show notes to shop now and transform your cleaning routine like never before. My thanks to Roborock for their support of 9to5 Mac Daily. Then in the Messages app, a very small change to the new tray that pops up instead of the app drawer that used to be there. So for the photos icon now, it shows your latest photo instead of like just a generic photos like glyph that it showed before.
Yeah, rather than like a static icon, now it's still got like two squares. I'm trying to suggest two recent photos, but the top one now actually looks like your most recent picture that's been taken, which is a nice little touch. Because I was tracking this a bit because I don't mind the new design of the overlay tray thing with the list, but the icons in that screen look very alien to like the rest of iOS. Like they don't really fit in.
No, I don't like it. I don't.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But incorporating your actual photo at least makes the photos one look more natural. Because before it was some like weird purple purple picture, but it didn't look like
the photos icon look more out of place in comparison to the other ones. It's a double-edged
sword. Yeah, all that. Yeah. And like you see, like the location one. For Find My or whatever, it looks like that should like animate and you'd have like the pulse of the blue, but it's not, it's just static. And I think they changed like blue to gray or something, but like I don't know, those icons in that tray just feel a bit weird. It's like they're from a different icon set. So yeah, like before, the photos icon was like a completely different rendering compared to just the photos app icon of the sunflower, so like everything's a bit wonky there. But I don't mind the tray design in general. And there was this funny thing going around on Twitter that I don't know if it's intended or not, or it's just a funny happenstance that you can reorder the list, right? So you can choose what goes in each slot, and there's a slot that directly goes over the plus button. So like you can line up the photos button to like directly be over the plus. So you like double tap the plus, and it just immediately presses photos. So if you want a quick shortcut to like open recent photos, that's a way to do it. I don't know if that Apple intended it and designed it that way on purpose, but it works. It does work, so it's pretty cool.
And the photos thing is probably the one people are choosing the most. So
yep.
I think you're right. The interface here is kind of weird, but so was the interface for the little drawer thing that used to be there. So
I think this is way better than the drawer.
I think it's better than that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really about it in terms of features. But then today, it's Tuesday, Apple re-released Beta 3 with, I think, just an updated build number. And the assumption is that this is going to be what the public beta is based on whenever it comes out, whether that's later this week or next week. History would say that it'd be this week, but we haven't heard anything yet. But the writing is on the wall for a public beta.
Yeah, and at WWC, Apple said July. So
yeah. In the past couple of years, it's actually been the last week of June, I think. So
yeah,
a little behind schedule, but I'm guessing next week for beta 3 for everything, iOS, macOS, etc.
They're also meant to be expanding like VisionOS, you know, the opportunity to get like dev kits and those hands-on sessions and stuff in July. So I kind of wonder whether they're kind of like lining everything up to do it all in one go. Because I think I saw someone on Twitter or whatever say that the SDK for VisionOS in beta 3 is still beta 1. So like, they didn't have Vision. They didn't have a VisionOS beta in Seed 1. Like the original WWDC didn't have any VisionOS SDK in it. But when they did Beta 2, it added a VisionOS SDK with the simulator and everything. We talked about that. But in Beta 3, the VisionOS part of that is unchanged. So it's like it's not actually up to date yet in terms of releases. So I think they're just kind of still waiting to get all the ducks in order, you know?
Because there was a story this week, too, that Test Flight is now accepting VisionOS apps of some sort, I think. So
I think it's just they're just behind schedule, probably. Yeah. And they're engineering-wise, you know, iOS, macOS, watchOS, they're all kind of on the small side of releases. So obviously, there's a lot of prioritization going into getting the VisionOS stuff ready to go for the early next year debut. Which
probably also explains why the betas have been boring so far.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like we're going to get much crazy cool stuff until, like, maybe the final release or even after the iPhone 15 is announced and they have iPhone 15 specific features get rolled in. It's just not one of those years where there's like stuff changing dramatically every single release. And everything that they have done is kind of good. So there's not much to like knock on their door and complain about.
And don't forget, they're also still beta testing what? iOS 16.6?
Six,
I think so.
Whoopie-doo.
Yeah, thrilling stuff there. Thrilling iOS 17 betas, more iOS 16 betas. It's a fun summer. It's a very fun summer.